The children begged for a hamster. And after the usual fervent vows that they alone would care for it, they got one, and they named it Danny. 2 months later, when Mom found herself responsible for cleaning and feeding the creature, she located a prospective new home for it. Well, the children took the news of Danny's imminent departure quite well, though one of them remarked, "He's been around here a long time. We'll miss him." "Yes," Mom replied, "but he's too much work for one person, and since I'm that one person, I say he goes," another child offered. "Well, maybe if he wouldn't eat so much, it wouldn't be so messy, we could keep him." But Mom was firm. "It's time to take Danny to his new home now. Go get his cage." With one voice, the children in tearful outrage shouted, "Danny, we thought you said Daddy." Hopefully that's not how any fathers here this morning feel. This morning's lesson does plan to show the unique value that Christian fathers have and how very important they are to the proper upbringing of children. We'll look later at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, but we remember in verse 4 how important it is for fathers to bring up their children, to nurture them in the admonition of the Lord. The first thing I want to look at, though, is a series of facts that have been compiled by Paul Coughlin, and these are basically a number of reports and studies that have been done on fathers. And I think you'll find them very interesting. The first reports come from a sociologist, Brad Wilcox, from the University of Virginia. And he found that conservative evangelical fathers rank higher than other men in the United States in most every category. Conservative evangelical fathers, he writes, spend more time with their children, hug and praise them more, are less likely to yell at them, and commit the lowest levels of domestic violence than any other group in America. He also said they're the most active, the most emotionally engaged husbands and fathers in America. Their wives report the highest levels of happiness, love, and affection. These superior fathers and husbands are also more likely to discipline their children, monitor their viewing habits, and know where they are at any given time. Wilcox calls them soft patriarchs, because it's a mixture of the traditional kind of authority figure coupled with involvement and affection. He also goes on in that report and says fathers excel when it comes to discipline, to play, and challenging their children to embrace life's challenges. They're more likely to partake in physical play with children, which is more important than many realize. The playful side to fathers teaches their children how to regulate their feelings and behavior as they interact with others. Children who roughhouse with fathers usually learn quickly that biting, kicking, and other forms of physical violence are not acceptable. He goes further and says fathers are more likely than mothers to encourage their children to take up difficult tasks, to seek out fresh experiences, and to endure pain and hardship without yielding. He explains, the bottom line is that fathers excel in teaching their children the virtues of fortitude, temperance, and prudence for life outside their family. Now, I know in our day, fathers are condemned for all kinds of things in all different ways, but that report, that study done at the university, shows how important a certain type of father is. And that's what I want to bring out. It's a certain type of father. Not all fathers, but a certain type of fathers. Another study. This is a sociologist, David Popineau, maybe is how it's pronounced. While mothers provide an important flexibility and sympathy in their discipline, fathers provide ultimate predictability and consistency. Both dimensions are critical for an efficient, balanced and humane child-rearing regime. The amount of time fathers devote to child-rearing increased 170% between 1965 and 1998. 170% more time than back in the 60s. That's an amazing figure, he writes. He also says the largest figure, this may astonish some of you, the largest factor in predicting whether a child will graduate from high school, will attend college, avoid crime or drugs, and not get pregnant before 18 is the presence of a father in the child's life. The largest factor. The largest factor. According to a recent report from the Department of Health and Human Services, fathers play a unique role in fostering the well-being of their children, not only through providership, protection, and guidance, but also through the way that they nurture the next generation. But there is a huge catch. And I want to focus a minute on that catch. And every husband and father and wife and mother and everybody needs to listen to this next statement because it will blow you away. A father's involvement with his children is powerfully contingent on the mother's attitude toward him. I'll repeat that. A father's involvement with his children is powerfully contingent on the mother's attitude toward him. Research consistently shows that the father-child relationship depends more on the quality of the parent's relationship than does the mother-child relationship. Wow. That certainly makes us think, doesn't it? If we want children to grow up to be the kind of children we want them to be, a huge factor is what is the mother's view and attitude of the father. Wow. That is really something. The report goes on and says, girls with active fathers demonstrate higher levels of mathematical competence, and boys with more nurturing fathers display higher levels of verbal acumen. It's worth noting, of course, that girls tend to struggle more with math and boys tend to struggle more with language. But having an active, emotionally invested father appears to help children overcome their intellectual weaknesses typically associated with their gender. The report says children raised by engaged fathers are more comfortable exploring the world around them. A playful, challenging, and nurturing approach to fatherhood is associated with more self-control and pro-social behavior. One study of seventh graders found that boys who had close relationships with their fathers were more likely to control their feelings and impulses, to obey rules at school and home, and to make good moral judgment. And that's just some of the ones that were compiled. There were many more. Now, just after hearing a few of those, we see how critical it is that children are raised with Christian fathers. Christian fathers who know what their role is in the home and what they are to do. Look at the benefits. Look at the value of Christian fathers. So, what do Christian fathers do? What do Christian fathers do that make their role in the home so critical, so valuable, so important? I wrote down four that I think are very, very important. The first is found in Ephesians chapter 5, number 1. Let's go there now. Ephesians chapter 5. And these are not in any particular order as far as importance, just all four of these are critical. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 25 says this. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Now what does that have to do with it? One of the most important things that children need to see is their father loving their mother. That's what comes from that verse. Christian fathers make sure they love their wives. and that their children see how much they love their wives. That's critical in bringing up children in the home. Fathers must do that. In that same section, skipping down to verse 28, the word says, "So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church." In verse 33, "Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." What kind of love is this? He says this is a sacrificial love. This is the type of love that Jesus has for the church. Well, what did Jesus do for the church? He died for it. He sacrificed himself for it. So the kind of love a father is to have for the mother is that same kind of love that Christ has for the church. To the extent he died for it. He died for her. That's the type of love. This is a sacrificial love. What does he do? He nourishes her. He protects her. He provides for her. In Colossians chapter 3, along this same line, Paul wrote to the church there and said in verse 19, "Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them." Notice what Paul adds when he writes to the church at Colossae. Not only love your wives, but do not be bitter toward them. So a Christian father is to make sure that when he sees his wife, he sees someone that he's willing to do anything for. That's ultimately what number one is. He's willing to do anything for her that he can possibly do. And if we want children to grow up with the right view of mothers and fathers and their role in society, they must see that in the home. They must see the love between the husband and the wife, and it falls on the husband's shoulders more than anyone else. He has that responsibility. So what do Christian fathers do? They do just that. They love their wives as Christ loved the church. Number two, what do Christian fathers do? They provide leadership to the household. Now, in that same section in Ephesians chapter 5, we'll begin in verse 22 and read three verses. Ephesians chapter 5, this is the second thing, beginning in verse 22. "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Everything. The husband, the father, has tremendous responsibility on his shoulders. To do what? Provide leadership. And especially spiritual leadership. He is to provide that in the home. You mean the mother doesn't do that? Of course the mother does it. But Paul explicitly says that right there on the shoulders of the father lies tremendous obligations to provide Christian leadership in the home. And when the children do not see that, they're very unlikely to grow up and be the right kind of people. You mean there's studies been done on that? There sure has. All kinds of numbers and statistics done on that. But when the father shows that responsibility and provides that leadership, the statistics are amazing when it comes to how the kids turn out. He's to set an example of what a Christian should be. What a Christian should be. Some qualities like Titus is given. Over in Titus chapter 2, verse 2, Paul writes that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and in patience. There are some qualities children need to see in their father. Christian qualities. They're sober-minded. They're reverent. They're concerned about spiritual things. They're temperate. And they're sound in the faith. They're healthy in the faith. They're healthy in love. They're healthy in patience. And so kids need to see fathers displaying those kind of qualities. That's what a Christian father does. Number three, Christian fathers put the kingdom first. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, we know that verse in Christ's Sermon on the Mount. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Seek ye first. So it's always to be put first. Why is that important? Because kids need to see their father putting first things first. They need to see their fathers. They need to see that their father's work does not have a greater priority than the Lord's work. If we want to teach them how important the church is, how important Christ is, and the mission He's left us, then they need to see that we put that first above everything else. Of our own work, we put it above our hobbies, we put it above our recreation, we put it above everything else. Again, the research is very clear. When kids see their fathers putting the Lord's work first, they're much more likely, of course there are no guarantees and we know that, it's much more likely that they're going to grow up and be the same way. They're going to put the kingdom first. But if they do not see their father doing that, also the numbers show they're not very likely to grow up and put the kingdom first either. And those are just that's just the truth of the matter. It's just the way it is. They need to see that the assembly doesn't take a back seat. They need to see that their fathers are involved and are concerned about these type of things. And again, it goes back to what do we want our children to be like? Yes, they have free will. They make their own choices. And sometimes, regardless of what we do, they do not turn out like we want them to. But in general, that's what happens. Is if they see us putting the kingdom first, that's what they will do. And then lastly, fathers, Christian fathers, teach their children to love and respect their parents. Going back again to Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, Paul writes, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." It's interesting what the word right there means in the original. This is what's fitting. This is what's fitting. This is what God considers to be right and fitting, is that children obey their parents in the Lord. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. There are blessings associated with honoring your father and mother. What is that? That it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. You want it to go well with you? Honor your father and mother. And you, father, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. That goes back again to the idea of fathers knowing how to discipline, knowing how to admonish, knowing how to teach, knowing how to instruct, and doing it in the right way. That idea of the patriarch that we talked about before. In Proverbs chapter 4, we have some great advice along this very line. Proverbs chapter 4, and stay there because we're going to go to Proverbs 3 after that. Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, says, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands, and live." And then in Proverbs 3, beginning in verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. You know, a father's advice that he gives may not be appreciated for many years. May not be appreciated for many years. But his discipline, his instruction, his teaching, his example, all of those are so necessary for a Christian father to do. And it will make a difference. It will make a big difference. God teaches us. God instructs us. God disciplines us, right? Hebrews chapter 12. He disciplines us. And why does He do it? It's for our good. Verses 5 through 11 of that chapter in Hebrews. It's for our good. So a Christian father does the same thing. He disciplines, he instructs, he teaches, he admonishes. Why? It's for their good. It's for the child's good. You know, a Christian father's value, as we've seen here, is beyond priceless. Yes, there's a lot of responsibility on a Christian father, as we've seen. But if we desire our children to grow up to be what we want them to be, then we dare not turn that responsibility over to other people, other groups, or anyone. A Christian's father's presence in the home is beyond the price of gold, the price of diamonds, the price of anything. That's how valuable a true Christian father is. They are priceless. Christian fathers are to treat their mothers right. Christian mothers are to respect the Christian fathers. Children need to see this in the home. They need to see that example in the home. They need to receive teaching in the home. They need to receive discipline and instruction in the home. And Christian fathers, you must take this to heart because it's vital to the upbringing of your kids. It's a very serious day, Father's Day. I know we started out in kind of a humorous way, but Christian fathers are so valuable. The scary part is we only have one chance at it. We've only got one chance at it. So we need to do it right the first time. This morning, I hope and pray that you take these things to heart. You might be thinking this morning that this is the morning I'm going to respond to the gospel, and I encourage you if it is. This might be the morning you're thinking that you need to ask for prayers of the congregation, and I encourage you if that is your desire. But if you have any desire at all, I encourage you to come as we stand and sing this next song.